Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
Red Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 5th Europe Orient Documentary Film Festival in Tangier, and I'm very pleased to be joined by director Emile Langbella, who is here with his film The Wait. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me here.
So the first question is just to introduce the film to our listeners.
It's about a 14-year-old immigrant girl in Denmark who is waiting to have an asylum case decided. And this waiting time proves to be very long. And during this time, the family dynamic changes. She's the one that speaks Danish the best in the family. So without her actually wanting to, she becomes like a parent of her own parents. And she becomes the one that's going to deal with authorities and lawyers and, you know, all that stuff. So it's about also a little girl that is forced to grow up too fast.
What's her name?
Roxa.
And how did you meet her?
So I was researching on the subject, and I read about her in a newspaper article where she was only 12 and she was interviewed with three other immigrant girls. And she struck me as very good at reflecting on her situation. She was only 12, but she could still put her situation into words in a very nice way. And also, you know, I could already feel then, you know, from the interview and after meeting her also, that, you know, what she was dealing with in the family and this enormous responsibility that she had undertaken, you know, and how she she had taken, you know, the destiny of the family on her, you know, to resolve. So
absolutely. How long did you the shooting of this documentary go on?
So we shot it over around 3 years, we shot around, I think, 60 or 70 hours of rushes, but, you know, we shot very slowly because she was very fragile, and, you know, we had to be very sensible to, how much could she kind of, you know, deal with us also, because the last thing we wanted was to put, an extra pressure on her, so we did, one little step at a time, yeah.
But the rest of the family was welcoming as well?
Yeah, in the beginning, she was she wanted to do the film from the beginning. She really felt that she didn't have a voice in this, you know, whole thing, and, you know, that nobody was asking her, and so she really wanted to speak out about her situation. And in the beginning, the parents were very, you know, careful, and they didn't really, I could feel they were not on the same page, but then slowly we gained their trust, and then, you know, they opened the doors, and, you know, and they were very welcoming to us.
Do you think that maybe you being there in some of the situations helped, especially when they had to interact with other people from Denmark who speak Danish, that they, you know, not the girl, the protagonist, but her parents couldn't really deal with?
I think, to be honest, the parents, they didn't deal so much with Danish people. They always, you know, it was always the girl who did it because she was the one who spoke the language almost fluently, and she was afraid that, you know, that they would not do it properly. But I could sense that when she called up the authorities asking about the case, that just the fact that we were in the room with her, you know, kind of calmed her a bit more down, you know, and maybe helped her, you know, I don't know if it helped her, but at least, you know, it made her feel a bit more secure, you know, because she was always really, really freaked out when she had to do that. Yeah.
So I remember this moment in the film. It happens halfway through. You mentioned earlier in the interview that you'd shot for 3 years, but I remember the scene in which the family reunites after 2 years of being separated following their arrival in Denmark. Where did that footage come from?
So that's a very interesting question that I'm always asked, and it's when I had been when we had slowly started filming with Roxa, you know, she suddenly one day she said, I told her something technical thing about how the camera worked, and she was like, yeah, it was the same thing that this other guy who filmed me half a year, he also said. And I was like, well, what is this? And she was like, yeah, there were some people, you know, following me for a little while, and they're also following a lot of other immigrant kids. But then they suddenly called up and said that the film that they were doing was not happening. But they shot this quite amazing scene where me and my family was reunited, you know, and we thought each other were dead, and, you know, and I was like, wow, but she didn't know the names of anybody, so it took me a year to kind of find out who who it was who shot it, and then they let me have the rushes to use in the film. So that is why, you know, like it's you know, like it's a different style, and also like, yeah, it was shot like way before I started filming.
It's like using archive footage.
Exactly.
Except more recent archive footage.
Yeah.
And so of course there's a human side to the story, but there's also a very frightening bureaucratic side to the story. This wait seems never-ending. While you were filming, did you know that this aspect would be as important as the personal side of the story?
No, I didn't. Actually, I, you know, like, I'd heard about stories where people were waiting, you know, like, and, you know, like, cases, but when we started filming them, they had already been waiting for, like, quite a while, and they had gotten this, you know, like, they quickly, after we started filming, got this, you know, like, letter saying that they had to leave the country, otherwise they would be forcefully, you know, like, deported, you know. So we were actually thinking that we were going to make a film about, you know, a family that was going to be deported, you know, like to Afghanistan after being in Denmark for quite a while, and about this girl who would then, you know, who had become Danish, and then she would have to adjust back to, you know, like a more dogmatic lifestyle. But then we shot and we waited and we went it with them, and it became like years of waiting, you know, and suddenly we realized, okay, this is a film about, you know, like this crazy bureaucratic system, and not about, you know, like deportation anymore, you know. And it was also, at the same time, I could see how this waiting time was affecting her in a way that I don't know, I never really knew about before we started filming, how fatal this can be, you know, when you don't know every day you can be, you know, like sent out of the country, and you don't know what to do about it.
Seems like it's a situation that might even never end. But then how did you know when it was time to put the film together?
That's actually also a very good question, because when we pitched the film to the TV station and the Film Institute who funded it, you know, we told them that we would follow the case to the end, you know, and we also told Roxa from the beginning that this will not be a film that can, it could possibly not affect your situation. That shouldn't be the reason why you go into this, because we cannot promise that we can, you know, like get it out there before your case is decided. It's more likely that the other thing will happen. And she was very cool about that, and she was like, you know, the reason why I want to be in this film is because I want to show the world how it feels to be me, and also to avoid that other people after me will not be in the same situation. But then when, you know, like when we had filming for some years, and she started to, you know, like get like really, how do you say, these like emotional traumas, and, you know, and she was admitted to psychiatric ward and all that stuff, it became so real and scary for us that we started making, you know, like a cut, and we made it with an open ending, and we showed it to the TV station, and we were like, maybe you should show this so we can actually have a chance to affect the case, and, you know, and they agreed to that, and we made this open ending where we tried to leave the audience with the same frustration as in or kind of, you know, this like a bit of the same frustration that the family, you know, has been living with for years, you know. And then it actually had a really positive impact on their case, and they ended up getting, you know, like residency permit. So after a couple of months after that, yeah.
So the film helped.
Yeah, it actually did, yeah. I mean, the authorities didn't admit when they granted the permit, but it was kind of striking that after 2 months after it was broadcast, you know, like a decision was made to let them stay. So yeah.
Hopefully now this film, that now that it's done, it'll also affect other cases.
Exactly. That's the hope of, you know, like both the family's lawyer and, like, you know, other lawyers for, you know, like other you know, other families in the same situation, that they can use this case, you know, like to say, hey, if, you know, if you've been living here for so long, and, you know, like if the system kind of affected you in had such a negative impact on you, then, you know, like you should be, you know, like granted, you know, asylum. So yeah, hopefully that will help.
And I think this is a message that we want to spread in all over the world, not only in Denmark. But for now, thank you very much for joining us and talking about your film, which I remind our listeners is called The Wait. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.